And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is numbers. Each of my guests will be discussing an idea they've developed with a number in it. My first guest is Kenyan by birth, and he brings his love of the wildlife and nature to his business writing. We discuss the 7 skills to master in businesses in life from his latest book, Surviving Your Serengeti. My next guest is a New Englander by birth. He's Harvard-trained, and he's an economist. He's a former journalist for the magazine The Economist, arguably the best magazine in the world. Now he's become a practitioner in the field of international development. His latest book lists the 12 surprising trends that will reshape the world economy, and the book is titled Outrageous Fortunes. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's 805-639-0008. Daniel Altman was born in Connecticut. He studied economics at Harvard University, long enough to receive a doctorate degree in economics. He became the London-based economics correspondent for The Economist magazine. From there, Daniel moved to the New York Times as one of the youngest members of its editorial board and later wrote economic commentary for that business section. He returned to London to become an economic advisor in the British government, dealing with crime, immigration, and illicit drugs. His next position was the global economic columnist for the International Herald Tribune. He had stints in such beautiful cities as Buenos Aires, Damascus, and Hong Kong. In 2008, with 4 friends from graduate school, they founded the North Yard Economics, a not-for-profit consulting firm serving governments and non-governmental organizations in developing countries. Daniel now teaches economics at New York's University Stern School of Business. He's become the director of thought leadership at Dahlberg Global Development Advisors, which is a strategic consulting firm exclusively focused on raising the living standards in developing countries and addressing global challenges. Daniel lives in New York City. Welcome, Daniel. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. I'm starting to blush, actually, after that intro. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, 2 things about the introduction strike me. First is this, that obviously you're a very multi-talented guy. And the second is, with all those jobs, it appears as though you can't hold a job, Daniel.
Some people used to accuse me of that, but I'm hoping to enlarge on my longest ever tenure of about 4 years in my current position. We're really doing a lot to raise living standards in developing countries, and I hope to keep with that for a while.
Well, I think that's a very commendable goal, and I do hope that you keep with it as well. But your book, one of my favorite books of the year, Outrageous Fortunes, the 12 surprising trends that will reshape the global economy, and some of them were very surprising to me, that in your book you contend that the fate of the global economy is going to be determined by deeper factors than just the factors that move the markets from day to day. And you predict, I think, some astounding, but when you read it, logical trends that are going to talk about societal pressures and governmental policy and so forth. Are our economics and political institutions up to the challenge that you lay out in the book?
I really think they're not, actually. It's too bad, but if you look here in this country domestically, or if you look around the world globally, our institutions really just aren't capable of solving the kinds of big problems that are facing us today. You know, you've got 2 sets of things that they really have trouble doing. One is forming coalitions where people get together and commit to try and solve a problem together. If you get to something like monitoring the financial markets or combating climate change, we really need to work together because there's an incentive to free ride. There's an incentive for every member of a coalition to say, hey, I'll sit back and let you guys take care of this problem while I reap the benefits. The second thing that we're really not good at doing is making big upfront investments today that may be costly but will reap a lot of returns in the future. And we need to do that to invest in things like education and basic research. But we have politicians who are incapable because they've got a 2-year electoral cycle. And you know what? The campaign lasts 22 months. That doesn't leave very much time for them to be thinking about the long term. We as voters need to send them a message that we appreciate it when they start looking at the long term and making those long term investments.
Well, let me ask you this, Daniel. As a free market capitalist myself, is it really the responsibility, the role of government to make some of these big upfront investments? Can't private industry step in and take over some of the responsibility from the government itself?
Well, in some cases, yes, but there are some cases where no individual or company has enough of an incentive to do it all by itself. You know, you've got big projects that help to push forward the frontiers of human knowledge that start with very simple abstract things like concepts in particle physics and biology and chemistry that no company would have enough money or incentive to pursue on its own. That's where government can really play a productive role, because they're basically creating public goods. They're creating things that benefit all of us by researching these topics. That's why we have the National Science Foundation and the National Institutes of Health, and I think it's really appropriate to invest in those things. And you know what? Our creditors, the people we borrow money from to pay for these investments, appreciate it, because they know there's a good chance they're going to get that money back, because we're investing in the long-term potential of our economy to grow.
All right, that makes some sense. Now, your 12 trends. I don't know if we're going to be able to get to all of them in the short amount of time that we have. I'm just going to cherry pick a couple of them that I found interesting and then leave it to my listeners if they want to learn more to get your book. But the first one that struck me was China. You talk about China. China's going to get richer, and then it's going to get poorer again. And when I read that, my first reaction was, huh, been there, done that. It sounds like Japan in the 1980s when we were all worried that Japan was going to overtake the United States and become the dominant economic force. So talk to us a little bit. Why is China going to get richer, which it appears to be doing now, but why is it going to fall back and become poorer again?
Well, you're absolutely right. There's a great parallel to be drawn here with Japan. If you look at why China is growing so fast right now, there are two big trends that are driving this. One is people are moving off the farms and into the cities to work in big factories and service operations. And, you know, that's going to allow them to grow their businesses a lot more in all the sectors of the economy. The second thing that's happening is they're able to copy technologies, they're able to reproduce them and then export them and do it a lot more cheaply. So that's getting them a lot of business, too. Each of those trends, we've seen it before. We've seen that rural to urban migration in the U.S. We saw it in Japan. We also saw that copying of technology in Japan. And we know both of these trends are eventually going to run out of steam. When that happens, China's going to settle down into a steady long-term growth pattern, just like Japan did. And I think just like Japan, that long-term rate of growth is going to be lower than what we have in the United States. That's why even if China passes us to become the biggest economy in the world, which I think they will probably a couple decades from now, the U.S. is going to start catching up again. We're going to pass them again, and I don't think we're ever going to look back.
Well, I would agree with that. I'm just going to throw in another factor that you didn't discuss in that answer, and that is demographics. China's population, huge as it is, 1.6 billion people, is aging faster than the United States population as well. So as they urbanize, as all of these people come into city centers, as they get older, the how's the government going to be able to support all of those old people, especially underneath a communistic regime?
Yeah, I can see you've done your research, because population really does factor into this. You know, population growth in the U.S. is actually higher than in China right now, and that means it's helping our economy to get bigger. But I think some of the other things that are really going to help the U.S. to catch up are more to do with our climate for entrepreneurship and innovation. You know, the protections we have for investors, the legal protections we have, the frameworks here for our markets, which are a lot more supportive of innovation and entrepreneurship than the ones in China. And the reasons why the ones in China are less supportive have to do with aspects of their culture, especially their business culture, that are thousands of years old. So I don't see those things changing anytime soon.
No, I would agree. We're talking to Daniel Altman, everybody, author of the book Outrageous Fortunes, The 12 Surprising Trends That Will Reshape the Global Economy. Now, another, again, surprising trend that I found in there, you talk about the new colonialism, and it's going to leave the colonizers and the colonized worse off in the long run. So help me to understand this. I thought we got rid of colonial rule back in the 1960s, and now you're telling us there's some new colonization going on, and it's going to be detrimental to both parties. Tell me about that.
Well, let's be clear. This is not colonialism or colonization at the end of the barrel of a gun anymore. Now it comes in the form of a big check. And those big checks are coming from China, they're coming from Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and other countries that have to buy up land and resources around the world so that they have enough for their economies in the future, so they have enough to feed their people and enough of the raw materials to feed their factories. And what they're doing is they're securing these resources now, buying them up in Latin America, Sub-Saharan Africa, and South Asia, so that they don't have to worry about these risks in the future, so that they have these resources locked up. I think this is actually going to end in tears, because a lot of the countries that are taking these big checks, billions of dollars sometimes, in return for these assets, are run by governments that are not so great. And they're probably going to end up wasting or frittering away or stealing a lot of this money. Some of these countries can't even absorb so much money into their economy so quickly. So there's nowhere for it to go. It's going to get wasted or just cause inflation. Then what's going to happen? A few years down the road, people are going to see that these resources that they have on their soil are not helping the growth of their country. And they're going to say, hey, we should renegotiate these deals, or we should take these resources back by force. That's going to cause instability in the countries that have been colonized. And it's going to bounce back to China and Saudi Arabia, the Emirates. They will not have hedged against those risks the way they thought they did. They'll have to worry about these resource problems all over again.
Fascinating analysis, and I'd agree. Obviously, the trends are with you. Anybody who's watching the investments that China is making right now in African countries knows that what you're saying is true, and it's probably you're on the right track there. We're talking to Daniel Altman. And, Daniel, your 12 trends, I'm going to combine two of them and see if we can get you to combine your answer to them as well. One of the trends is that Americans will become the world's sales force. And that's kind of exciting to me. The other one is, and this was a little disturbing, as the global economy integrates, the middlemen are going to win. And what disturbs me about that is I thought that the Internet was going to allow us to get rid of all the middlemen, that everything was going to be transparent, that we're going to be able to see prices, and we're going to get to a much more efficient marketplace. But you're saying that's not going to be the case, and odds are, Americans being the salesmen that we are, we're going to be those middlemen.
Yeah, I think actually these are two really favorable trends for Americans. So let me start with the first one. You know, in this country, we created a commercial culture starting a couple hundred years ago where we could sell something to just about everybody, no matter where they were from, no matter what their background was, we had to be able to sell to them in this nation of immigrants. And we found things that would resonate all the same. You know, it's sort of the lowest common denominator, and I don't use that term pejoratively. That's what we need to appeal to people from lots of different backgrounds. Well, this is a tool, this commercial culture, that is just built for the global economy, you know, because we need to sell things to people all around the world now, and we already have the ways of doing it. So I think it's going to help us to sell our own product, it's going to help us to sell other people's products, and it's going to help us to make money by teaching other people how to sell in the American way. Now, the other opportunity for Americans, as you were saying, is I think to become middlemen. Now, you're right. The Internet is getting rid of some kinds of middlemen, the people who keep consumers from getting exactly what they want from producers. But what about when a company decides to expand overseas? It wants to open a branch in a different country. It needs middlemen. It needs the lawyers, the accountants, the translators who are helping it to enter that market, to adapt to the new customs and business culture in that market. Those middlemen have a great opportunity because they're the gatekeepers. They get to demand a percentage of the profits that are going to come from that cross-border engagement. And when they've done with that engagement, they can move on to another one. So it's a very profitable business to be in. Now, who are the best people to be in this business? Well, naturally, it's people who bridge two cultures, people who can use their knowledge of the new place where the company wants to go and their knowledge of the culture in the old place where the company is coming from. Well, Americans fit the bill because so many of us have a parent who's been born somewhere else or we've studied somewhere else. Maybe we were born somewhere else. We've taken a foreign language. So many of us are bridges between cultures. We can really act as those gatekeepers.
Oh, well said. We're talking to Daniel Altman, everybody, author of the book Outrageous Fortunes. And one of the things that I liked in your book of your 12 predictions was a new set of lifestyle hubs are going to replace today's business hubs. So in my mind, I immediately gravitated that Las Vegas is going to overtake New York City. Monte Carlo is going to overtake London. Am I on the right track there?
Yeah, I think you're thinking in exactly the right way. You know, so far in our history, economic hubs have basically been places where there's a lot of commerce going through or a lot of financial trading, and other businesses have tended to agglomerate around them as well. I think that's really going to change because now so many people can take their job with them wherever they go. They can do it over the Internet or through our other media of communication. Now, what does this mean? These mobile professionals who can take their jobs with them can go somewhere where they like the lifestyle. They can go somewhere where they get all the amenities they want, perhaps for a lower price than they would in a city like New York or London, which is super expensive. So I think you're going to see cities like Buenos Aires and Barcelona start to be the places that attract these mobile professionals. They'll still be doing the same job. They'll just be living somewhere that gives them a better deal on the lifestyle that they want. And as more of them move to these cities, they'll create a critical mass that'll draw more and more of these mobile professionals in because they like to interact with each other. And this is going to lead to the creation of these new business hubs.
Now, maybe we can get some of those mobile professionals to move right here to Ventura, California as well. That would not hurt our economy in the least. We're talking to Daniel Altman, everybody. We're talking about his book, Outrageous Fortunes, The 12 Surprising Trends That Will Really Reshape the Global Economy. And one that I found particularly disturbing is a trend that you say an enormous financial black market will arise outside of the traditional centers. Now, that was disturbing to me. Explain what you mean by that, please.
Yeah, and it should be disturbing. What we're seeing is now, after our crisis a couple of years ago, that we're looking at new regulations coming in, new monitoring for financial markets, and there are going to be people who say, hey, you know, I want to be able to do all the exotic types of trades that I used to do, so I'm going to get out of these markets. I'm going to get out of New York, get out of London, and go to some of the offshore centers, which are already growing as financial markets in themselves. Well, what's going to happen in those offshore centers? There will be a lot of sophisticated investors that will bring a lot of money and invest in those places so they can participate in these big exotic transactions. And eventually they're going to get themselves into trouble again, just like in 2008. The problem is that when they have a crisis in the offshore black market, it's going to reverberate back in the traditional markets because a lot of investors will be invested in both. That's the thing that we have to worry about.
And it is something to worry about. Now, when you talk about the offshore markets, you're talking about places like the Cayman Islands, Jersey, Guernsey, places like that where transactions happen and they're not the mainstream?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in the British Virgin Islands, they're aiming to have as many hedge funds as we do in the United States.
And they are on their way to do it, too. We're talking to Daniel Altman, obviously a very well-spoken author of the book Outrageous Fortunes. And Daniel, before I let you go, what do you want readers to take away from reading Outrageous Fortunes?
I really want them to get the tools they need to make the right investments in the future, to pick up the right skills, to help their children to prepare for what's a really fast-changing world, and to be able to send the right message to our leaders to really plan for that long-term future and stop focusing just on the short term.
I agree. Now, are you sending this book to all the members of Congress, the newly appointed, newly installed members of Congress, so that they can read it as well, hopefully broaden their perspective a bit?
I'm going to discuss that with my publisher. That's a great idea.
All right. That sounds great. We've been talking to Daniel Altman, everybody, author of the book Outrageous Fortunes, The 12 Surprising Trends That Will Reshape the Global Economy. A great read. Daniel, if people want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, maybe some of your writings, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, they can go to my website, which is danielaltman.com. That's Daniel, A-L-T-M-A-N.com. They can read all about the book and some of my other work, and they can find places to pick up the book if that's something that's up their alley.
Oh, Daniel, it has been a true delight. Thank you so much for taking time out of what I know is a very busy day for you. We'll be talking to you down the road.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Take care.